Let's go in our Bibles to Luke chapter 1. As I was considering today, and I realize I have four or five times that I will have between this morning and Christmas to address Christmas subjects, I think would be appropriate. And if you're a preacher, these kinds of things come around every year. And it doesn't take long to before you start getting really desperate for messages because, well, already covered that one and covered this. But you can look at the same account over and over again and see new things, such as this morning's message was just I've seen that account many times of the wise men, but was just really blessed by that what God revealed to us this morning. Luke chronicles for us the Christmas story as well as Matthew, and he includes in his writings the account of Zechariah and Elizabeth, and of course that is the background for John the Baptist because of course he was their child. Another thing that Luke does though is he includes along with these many different accounts that surround a Christmas story, is he records words of celebration or words of praise that come from various different characters along the way. As you read down through the book of Luke, the first account of celebration that you would see would be that of Elizabeth, and that's beginning in verse 39. Immediately following that, you have the celebration and praise of Mary as she is magnifying the Lord, as it's stated in verse 46. And then you have in verse 67 of chapter 1, Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, being filled with the Holy Ghost, prophesying, saying, and he speaks great words of blessing. And then as you go down further into chapter 2, you of course have the brief mention of the shepherds in verse 20 of Luke chapter 2. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And so there they are celebrating. And then you have that time when Mary and Joseph bring Jesus to the temple. And we meet two interesting characters there as well. You have Simeon's words of celebration in verse 28 of chapter 2 as he took Jesus into his arms and spoke words of praise and prophecy. And then after that, in verse 36, you have Anna, a lady who was, from all accounts, seems to be very old, but had been waiting for this moment, and certainly an account of celebration as well. You know, that's very fitting as we think about Christmas. It is a time for celebration. And so tonight I would like to just look at one of these moments of celebration and the words that are shared from Elizabeth in Luke chapter 1. Just to give us the context, I'd like to begin in verse 26. So, you know, prior to that, Gabriel's appeared to Zechariah, told him, you're going to have a son. Zechariah's struck dumb. In other words, he can't speak, and Elizabeth conceives. And verse 26 kind of breaks in just following Elizabeth's declaration that the Lord has dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. And in the sixth month, verse 26, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth. just a point of it, geography. Zechariah, when he's ministering in the temple, would have been where? Jerusalem. Okay? You see in verse 23 of this chapter that it says that after the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. So he did not necessarily live in Jerusalem, but he lived in Judea, in the hill country surrounding Judea. We know that because verse 39 tells us, Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah. So a city of Judah is where Zechariah and Elizabeth lived. We're not told exactly which one. Many believe it was Hebron, because it probably was a Levitical city, a place where priests could live. So just realizing the geography, let's just say it's Hebron. That's where Zechariah and Elizabeth are. Now Mary, she is in Nazareth. She is in Galilee. And so that's further north. And so it's quite a journey between Nazareth and Hebron. All right, so she's in Nazareth. And verse 27, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. And therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days, and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zechariah, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. So, Elizabeth, you notice here that we have a coming together of two very significant women. Women that, by all accounts, if you were to look at them, were normal. Normal women. Elizabeth, an older woman, barren, never have children. The wife of a priest. But earlier in the text, we are told that her and her husband were righteous and followers of God. And you have Mary, a young lady, perhaps very young from our standpoint, from modern day America, a woman who is espoused or betrothed to a man whose name is Joseph. These would have been exciting days normally, as they would anticipate this beginning of a new family, but it is very clear that Mary and Joseph have not yet been together. We know, if we just read, that an angel appears to Mary and tells her this most incredible message, that you are highly favored, that the Lord is with you, you're blessed among women. I mean, just consider this. An angel appearing in and of itself to one of us would be amazing. But to hear such words and such a message, we understand that Mary also was a woman of high regard in the Lord's sight. The Lord chose her to be the mother of his son. So these two ladies, they come together. Mary travels from Nazareth and makes this arduous journey, and it's not an easy journey. Anybody been to Israel? No one here? No, I'm not either. Maybe someday. And if it's not in this, in this life, when the Lord reigns, we'll make the trip to see him as he reigns in Jerusalem. We can get to walk through Israel. And but it's a mountainous country. Oh, there are plains down near the coast, but there are many mountains. In fact, Jerusalem is in mountains. That's why it usually says you go up to Jerusalem. It's not north, you're going up in elevation. And so she is heading to visit with Elizabeth. Modern storytellers incorporate into that she is traveling to hide what is happening to her. That's poetic license. That's what they would interpret. And I can see why they would say that, but keep in mind that that's not in the text. That there is not this wrestling within her, but nevertheless, she does make this journey. When she enters into the house, so in other words, she comes into the house and she greets Elizabeth. Would be as simple as, "Hey, Josh, you're home?" as you come through my door. "All right, Julia, good to see you today. All right, if I come in?" And something of that nature took place, and it triggers something here that the Word of God wants us to know, that God wants us to know. What happens? When, verse 41, when Elizabeth heard the salutation, heard this greeting of Mary, that the babe in her womb, now who was that babe? John. That when the babe in her womb, when she heard that salutation, the babe leaped in her womb. Now, ladies, did you ever experience a baby leaping in your womb? It felt like it, right? I mean, I'm sure if my wife was in here, she would testify as well. I mean, there would be times when laying in bed and all of a sudden she'd be boom, and it's like, whoa, what was that? Oh, amazing things can happen in the womb. But it is clear here that God wants us to realize this is a very special encounter. This is an encounter, and it's more than just the women involved in this encounter. And you see, these women, both of them are pregnant. Both of these women are pregnant as a result of the work of God. A miraculous event, a miracle. Elizabeth being barren, she is now bearing a child. She is carrying a child. And she's past childbearing years. So humanly speaking, this is a miracle. Mary, she's also pregnant, but she has never been with a man. Impossible. But what did we hear the angel say? For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And so both women are pregnant as a result of a miracle. Both were followers of God and looking for the Messiah. And both, listen to this, both had a confident faith in God. Confidence in God. So this encounter is more than just two women, but it is an encounter of four. Two moms and two babies. An encounter of a woman who was barren and a woman who's never been with a man. And a baby who has a mission to be the forerunner of the Messiah. And a baby who is that very one, the Savior. And what happens when they all get together? Well, for John, it was party time. For John, it was a thrill. Sidebar. It tells us something about life in the womb, doesn't it? And it tells us about how God's Word honors that life in the womb. We see that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth, it says, was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now we know from earlier in the chapter, in verse 15, that Zechariah was told this by the angel. For he, that is, the boy that will be born to you, shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Interesting detail, isn't it? Even from his mother's womb, your son shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now that terminology, being filled with the Holy Ghost, gives us this picture of overwhelmingly controlled by or with. In other words, it is clear that God is directing this individual, this one. This is the same terminology that is used on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, where we read, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. These apostles, the disciples in the day of Pentecost, became overwhelmingly controlled by the Lord, by God. It was clearly obvious. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. And you could follow down through the book of Acts various different uses of that phrase, incorporating that idea of control, that idea of God being at work and using these individuals. And so we see here that when these moms and their babies get together, that God filled Elizabeth. And I believe it was at this point that John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost, and it was evidenced by this leap. And it's this leap of joy. You notice that Elizabeth describes it in verse 44. The babe leaped in my womb for joy, she says. And so there is this excitement that this interaction has as these two individuals who have been prophesied about, who've been spoken of for centuries, one a forerunner and one the Messiah. And so from the very womb, we know that John the Baptist is filled with the Holy Spirit. And I believe as he grew, he understood very early on his purpose. For we find him ministering in the deserts, an odd fellow, but a profound message. A message that rocked the region of Judea. And throngs of people came and were baptized as they repented of their sin. And setting the stage for Jesus to come. And Jesus to declare the good news of the kingdom of God. Well, this encounter of four results in this leaping in the womb and the filling of the Holy Ghost. In verse 42, we see Elizabeth speaking with a loud voice. Now, put yourself here in the situation. Mary comes into the house, and Elizabeth experiences this, and what comes out of her mouth, she just couldn't contain herself. This is not a whisper. This is not like, it's not like she say, "Oh, blessed aren't you among women. Wow, blessed is the fruit of your womb." It's not like that. But the text tells us it's with a loud voice. Now, what happens when somebody's communicating with you in a loud voice and they're not angry? Usually they're excited, right? Usually they have found something that they're excited about. I mean, even if you just listen to me preach, and I know I can get loud. And it's things that we're excited about. And so the text tells us with a loud voice, she declares. And notice what she declares. Words of blessing. First of all, blessed art thou among women. That's a phrase packed with meaning. Let's summarize it in this way. The women in Israel, they would have had in the back of their mind a certain passage in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that spoke that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. And so bearing children was such a significant thing for women. Now we know that down through the centuries and through the ages, God narrowed it down. God narrowed it down to those who were of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And eventually, the tribe of Judah, the family of David. And so we realize, though, that women found it a great blessing to bear children. Blessed art thou among women. And what did the angel tell Mary? We read it. If you look back earlier in the chapter, verse 28, the angel told her, "Blessed art thou among women." How did Elizabeth know that? This is what gives us this idea, first of all, that this is a great blessing. But we also need to be reminded that she's been filled with the Holy Spirit. And what I'm excited about in this instance of celebration is how God is using Elizabeth to be an encouragement to Mary. You see that? Here's Mary, just a young girl. Not even married. Yes, she's spoken for. Yes, Joseph has called her husband, but she's never been with him in a physical way. She's young, inexperienced. And now she is bearing the Son of God? God here is using Elizabeth. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb. These are words of blessing to encourage Mary to lift her gaze from perhaps maybe the shame she was dealing with. Maybe she was struggling. I don't know that. But God here is using Elizabeth to keep lifting her gaze to the blessedness of what is taking place within Mary's womb. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb. In verse 43, Elizabeth continues, and she says, "And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" And very quickly, Elizabeth progresses to this statement, "Mother of my Lord." Mary, you are the mother. You are the mother of my Lord. Let's get this straight. She's not talking about some human master. We know she wasn't a slave. She's not talking about Zechariah. Because Mary's not the mother of Zechariah. Women would call their husbands Lord at times in these days. And so who is she talking about? Mother of my Lord. And this reveals to us the ancient Jewish understanding of those that followed after God. They were looking for their Lord. They were looking for him. And they knew he would be born as a baby. And Elizabeth reveals to us their understanding. You, Mary, are the mother of my Lord, as she takes ownership over the very baby in Mary's womb. He's my Lord. Elizabeth, it's almost as if to think you would come to me. To think that I have this incredible privilege to be in the same room, to be speaking with the very mother of my Lord. And you can just picture her as she just spins around and prays and wow, to think that this is happening to me. And she helps Mary out because who knows what Mary's thinking as Elizabeth is just unleashing all of these words on her. And Mary's just walked through the door and said, "Hello." And all of a sudden, Elizabeth is just, "Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. What do I deserve that you come here? That you are the mother of my Lord." Of course, Mary has been told by the angel what was about to happen, but I'm sure she was deep within her heart blessed that here's another who knows. Here's another who understands. And here's another who is truly excited and celebrating with me. Because you've got to catch this. We don't have Mary's song until after Elizabeth celebrates. And it's almost as if Elizabeth and her celebration, her words of blessing, release Mary to full praise and magnifying the Lord. Because she's got somebody to celebrate with. She's got somebody who understands. Now she explains for Mary in verse 44, "For lo, as soon as the voice of your salutation sounded in my ears," as soon as I heard your voice, Mary, "the babe leaped in my womb for joy." Somehow she knew it wasn't for fear. It wasn't out of anger. It was out of joy. "And blessed is she," verse 45, "blessed is she that believed This is another phrase, another reason I believe God is using Elizabeth to be an encouragement to Mary. Because here she is affirming her faith, belief. You guys realize, don't you, the magnitude of what the angel told the Mary? You're going to bear a child. You know, and that would just blow your mind. And we see, when if we could do a study of Mary and the angel and their interaction, but just notice some of these phrases. Look at verse 34. Mary said unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" That is not a statement of doubt, but that is a statement of, I understand this is going to happen, but how? You realize, you see that? So you're telling me that I'm going to have a bear the Son of God. Okay, I get that. I understand that. I just don't know how that's going to happen. But it says, how shall this be? You also need to see verse 38 where Mary says, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord." A statement of, I'm yours. I am your servant, Lord. Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And then the angel departed. And then she goes and visits Elizabeth, and Elizabeth tells her, "Blessed is she that believed." You know, there's a profound lesson for us here in the power of our words of blessing. You know, in the Old Testament days, it was very common to speak words of blessing into your children. How often do we do that today? Words of blessing. How often do we speak words of blessing to even one another? To affirm the work of God in their life. To affirm and lift their eyes up to say, hey, God is working in and around you. Do you see it? To affirm the faith of individuals as you see them walk through hard times. And lift up their gaze and say, blessed are you for believing, having a faith in God. There's power in our words of blessing. Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be. Notice Elizabeth's faith here. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. It shall happen, Mary. The Lord spoke to you, and it shall come to pass. It shall be. How special it is to have people like that in your life, right? People that have a strong faith that come alongside of us when we're struggling or maybe we're weak, and trust them. Trust his promises. Hold on to them. He will not fail. He will accomplish what he says he will do. So it's a celebration of Elizabeth. An encouragement for Mary. A rejoicing of a once barren woman. A release for a young woman. Now, the mother of the Lord. I trust, as we look at this celebration, it is encouraging to you this Christmas season. Take the opportunity to speak words of blessing in the life of your loved ones and friends. Be an encouragement and an upliftment to others. And help them believe and help them trust in God. and rejoice that our Lord has come. And enjoy the celebration. For indeed it truly is worth celebrating, isn't it? Yeah? Thank you, God, for our time together. And I want to thank you for helping us tonight and just enjoying this account, this true happening many years ago. It tells us about your coming. And we celebrate you, Lord, tonight. Lord, I pray for you to guide your people safely on their journey home. And throughout this week, that we would be a faithful people, realizing our mission. And prepare us, Lord, for the encounters that we will have with the lost, with the hurting, with the struggling, Lord, with those that are sinning. And Lord, may we be blessing in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.